I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. There is so much going on. I have pages and pages of notes, knowing I can only get to a brief part of it. Just in the last few days, what did I see that P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, what's he going by? Is he still Diddy? P. Diddy? Arrested for what people are describing as child sex trafficking. And boy, it seems like the whistleblowers have been out there for a while on this guy. He's been arrested, and it's really kind of interesting. You know, what I wonder is why. You know, you look at this Department of Justice, and we don't believe there's really any honesty there. Did he not kick up some money to somebody? I mean, you know, child sex trafficking, strangely enough, America can spend, what are we spending now, $7 trillion a year? I don't have time to go into the spending today. I think I'm going to spend a little bit of time on it tomorrow, pun intended. But we spend about $7 trillion a year, yet we can't seem to really put a dent into child sex trafficking. Doesn't that feel like if you have to have a government, if you have to have a federal police force, if you have to have a police state in your country, maybe one of the first targets would be child sex trafficking? Yet Jeffrey Epstein did his deal for 30-plus years running that operation. Of course, we know who backed that one. More on that later in the show today. But for some reason, something has happened. There's been a rift on the left. I suspect that P. Diddy wasn't kicking up some dollars where he should have. Greed will get you every time if you don't cut in your other gangsters. But P. Diddy's been arrested for that. The royals are mysteriously, the British royal family, mysteriously getting some cancers. And the headlines say, you know, Kate Middleton comes out and says she's got cancer. I know there's still some funkiness, I guess, going around with her videos. I don't have time to follow all that. But all the headlines say, two royals now diagnosed with cancer in mysterious new trend. Well, it's not mysterious to us, is it? Only to the news media and the medical establishment would that be considered a, air quotes here in the studio, mystery. I didn't even have time the last couple of weeks to talk about the Boeing whistleblower who killed himself. And of course, we had the Russian terror attack. We're going to get to that later. And this is really kind of interesting. It'll lead me into the show today. Israel is getting a lot of pushback from almost all of the rest of the world, and a trickle of pushback even from here. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, was invited again by Mike Johnson and the Republican Party to address Israelis' employees, I mean the U.S. Congress. And now I've heard that scrapped. I believe that Benjamin Netanyahu is the only foreign president that has ever addressed a joint session of Congress. Pardon me if I'm wrong, but the last time that happened, I believe it was said it was the only time a foreign head of state had ever publicly addressed a joint session of Congress. We don't let the King of England, the Queen of England, come do this. Not that I think we should, but it's just kind of interesting, isn't it? That this one country can call together its employees, again, a joint session of Congress, and actually give an address to our government. with their wish list. One of the other stories that I've seen, and I'm not sure if it's because of my Twitter and YouTube bubble, I'm always kind of on the lookout for that, so occasionally I'll catch some mainstream news, probably most of it on the WYAB news breaks, just to see what the mainstream news is talking about, because God knows I'm not going to be watching it in any other format. You can take it on WYAB. It's, what is it, 3.5 minutes to hear what narratives they're pushing so that we can spend the rest of the time on all our local shows here trying to debunk everything the mainstream news says. It's kind of a fun game. But one of the stories that I've seen a lot, certainly in my Twitter and YouTube bubble, and I believe it's made it to the mainstream news, is the issue of squatters in this country. Apparently, some migrant had gathered something like 500,000 followers where he was giving a how-to tutorial on how to invade homes in the United States and live rent-free and collect benefits. My understanding is that is he actually got canceled off of TikTok. Maybe TikTok trying to extend an olive branch to the U.S. federal government for some reason has a bee in their bonnet for TikTok. But anyway, I think the guy got canceled. But there's been a lot of talk about this. There's been news stories in the past couple of weeks where the police have gone in when there's been a kerfuffle between a squatter and not a landlord. They're not trying to rent the place out. They're just homeowners. And the police will arrest the homeowner. Now, I'm not sure exactly where even these squatters' rights rose from, what the supposed good intention of this was originally, but it has quite obviously gone completely insane, where if somebody can access your property, it's pretty much theirs, and they can ruin your life along the way when you've done absolutely nothing wrong but own a piece of property. But what's kind of interesting to me, to kind of bring a couple of these stories together, most conservatives would probably agree that you cannot just go into someone's private property and take it. I would imagine, because most of my bubble on Twitter and YouTube is pretty much right-wing conservative, of course, a lot of libertarian stuff, but it's more on the conservative side. There's not a whole lot of weird leftiness in my bubble. I actually kind of miss it. The Twitter algorithm, I think, is actually worse. I'm getting less variety in my feed than I used to get because there's some interesting people on the left, and sometimes I enjoy watching some of them go insane. But I would say that, you know, most of this is conservatives outraged. News channels, Fox News, conservative commentators, conservative influencers, people all commenting on the squatting issue, and it seems to me that the consensus is about 100% on the conservative side of things that you cannot just go into someone's private property and take it. I mean, it's common sense, and the person who moves in without permission is the bad guy in that scenario, right? And the homeowner, the owner of the property, is the good guy, right? I mean, this is what I see across conservative media, and I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's insane that we would ever imagine a country where someone can just walk into the house and just basically take it. And to see the cops arrest the homeowner in these situations is enough to make your blood boil. Now, I've got a long track record here of explaining to you that, unfortunately, while police do much heroic work, they will enforce any harebrained law that the parasites pass. And this is why I do not believe this wholesale always be on the side of the police, which conservatives have unfortunately done, which has led us to essentially a police state where you, if you sell raw milk to your neighbors, you get a SWAT raid. Police will enforce these rules. I can't imagine what you do with your soul when you have to enter a property and arrest the owner. But I'm digressing a little bit. Well, I've talked on this show for 7 years about another very similar situation that goes on in another country half a world away. And conservatives have kind of fought me on my objection to this exact same thing, essentially squatters. But this is even worse because the citizens in the West Bank, in the Palestinian areas, have had their homes just taken from them. Now, I think it's just a little interesting. Now, this is the scenario that I've laid out to you many times over the past 7 years, where a Palestinian family will go away on vacation for a couple of days, and they'll come home, and they will find people in their homes. And the home is now the complete property of the people that have invaded and taken the homes. And it's backed up by the IDF. These are Israeli citizens who just set their eye on a piece of property. And when the homeowners are out, they just move their stuff in. The Palestinians come home and their stuff is out in the street. This is not your home anymore. There have been some cases where Israeli settlers have gone in and occupied half of a house. I'm not quite sure why. They decided they would have let the Palestinian family who had the house in there originally still use the kitchen and the living room, but the Israeli citizens might just take all the bedrooms. Seems fraught with danger, but some of these things happen. And so the very same conservatives who get angry about squatters in the U.S., you know, I tell you what, I think a lot of the things that are happening to the United States right now, it's a whole big heaping pile of karma to some degree. Because the conservatives who rightfully, again, you understand, I'm with you, I support you, we are in total agreement of the squatters issue here in the United States, but really here in the United States, as sad as it is, the property owner can generally get their property back after, you know, a year, 18 months of going through court, spending tens of thousands of dollars to get their own property back. When in the situation in the West Bank, these Palestinian families, once they're out. It's over. It doesn't matter how long they've lived in the home. It doesn't matter how many generations they've had in the home. Once an Israeli settler moves into a Palestinian house, it's game over. They pack up whatever they've got, throw it over their back, and try to move to somewhere where they can actually live. Because the IDF, the military, actually backs up the squatters in the West Bank, the Israeli settlers. And if a Palestinian tries to get their house back, not only would the IDF potentially kidnap them, much like the U.S. police do here when a property owner tries to get their house back from a squatters, but the IDF will kill them for coming back to their own house to get their home back. So as you see this squatter situation in this United States and think to yourself, how insane is it to live in a country where someone can just walk into your home or break into your home or sneak into your home when you're not there and essentially set up shop and it takes you 18 months to get out? Understand that is what the Israeli government has been promoting and supporting now for, I think, since about 1967. I'm just saying, because we're going to talk a little bit more about this when it comes. If you are upset that I'm saying these things, most of the people upset about me saying those things probably left this show a long time ago, because I've been saying them for 7 years. And I know it's a big no-no on radio, because conservatives and evangelicals have been taught that we support Israel in everything they do, and we pretend that they're not doing things like taking people's homes. I'm going to explain to you exactly why you feel that way if anyone's interested. So when I come back, I'll get to a quote of the day. We'll talk a little bit. This is going to be a little bit about what's going on around the world, not so much here in the U.S. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Stop me now. Don't stop me.
Cause I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
You shouldn't start leaping through the sky.
All right, let me just go ahead and say it. Seems silly. Another thing I've said for 7 years. I wish all the good Israeli citizens, the innocent Israeli citizens, all the health and happiness for the rest of their lives, Jewish or Christian or whoever they are in Israel. My problem is with Israeli government, and unfortunately, in this case, with Israeli settlers, the people that the OGs of squatting. I had no love lost for someone that walks into someone else's home and just takes it. But I have no beef with Jewish people or with the Israeli citizens or anything like that. Look, they're living under a regime the same as we are. They've got an evil one. We've got an evil one. They're my brothers and sisters as far as I'm concerned. But the Israeli government that people are bending over backwards to protect on the right. Look, I speak to conservatives here. I know maybe it's uncomfortable. I consider it tough love. It may come across more along the lines of annoying, But, you know, this is one of those things, just like the squatters issue. It's just a common sense thing. When you hear somebody on the left defending somebody, well, they don't have a home, or, you know, they're whatever excuse they make for somebody who busts into someone's home and take it, you know, you just look at them like, what? Why would you justify that? Well, we all need to look in the mirror sometimes when we're watching some atrocious behavior take place and think to ourselves, why am I justifying that? Some things are just wrong. And we're going to get into a little bit of the reason today, the kind of interesting thing on the right on why you don't hear people talk like this about the government of Israel, like I talk about the government of Israel. If France was doing this, I'd talk about France. If Peru was doing this, I'd have the same take on the Peruvian government and any Peruvian settlers that are going into Colombia and taking people's homes. This has nothing to do with ethnicity, has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with right and wrong. And I don't equivocate and I don't do mental gymnastics to try to make wrong seem right, but for some justified reason. Quote of the day today. Somebody, I don't even have the real name, they go by Just a Thought. Cute girl on Twitter. She says, Americans are born into an empire that glorifies always being at war. We're told fighting bad guys and bringing democracy overseas. We salute war. We cheer war. We respect war. We love war. And when war comes home, we'll realize we never knew what the blank war was at all. And this is what I really fear is going to happen. This idea that we are going to support Israel no matter what is going to get us in a whole heap of trouble. And I think I've got some backup on this coming from one of the Mac Daddies of real right-wing radio, and that is Alex Jones. Now, Alex Jones has recently just tweeted this out. This is Alex Jones. Israel has lost the high ground. This is not war. It is robotic mass genocide. Section 1091 of Title 18, United States Code, prohibits genocide whether committed in a time of peace or a time of war. Genocide is defined in Section 1091 and includes violent attacks with a specific intent. This is Alex Jones, who has spent some period of time really kind of trying to justify the things that Israel does by the fact that they're facing off against terrorists. Now, again, I'm going to kind of go back. If somebody comes into your home and takes your home, what does that mean? Could that possibly turn you into somebody who would act extrajudiciously? Let's put it that way. If somebody were to come into your home and then you find out they took your kids home too and they took some of your neighbors home and sent you packing and there's nothing you could do because the army backed them up, would that cause you to, for a nanosecond, consider some level of violence against the people that were taking your home? There was some video out the other day of four young men walking down the road. It was said they weren't carrying any weapons, didn't appear to be strapped with explosives. It was said they were heading back to where their homes had been bombed out in Gaza. It was four young Palestinian kids. They dropped a bomb on the four kids and then found a couple of single guys walking down the street and one bomb for one person. There's actually video of them blowing these kids up in the middle of a dirt road as they walk through the ruins of what used to be their neighborhoods. Now, if you saw that happen to your children, would it possibly cause you to maybe even join a deranged gang of people who were sought on revenge? I'm not justifying the Hamas attacks. Terrorism is terrible. But I am saying, in our own minds, I'll just tell you right now, if somebody were to murder my children, and if somebody came in and kicked me out of my home, and they did this to several of my friends and my family, and it had been going on for 40 years, I'd have some very dark thoughts about what I might do. I would really feel pretty hopeless if that was the case. If that was not just a one-off incident, if that was the system that I lived under where these things were accepted for decades on decades, I'd be a pretty depraved person, I would say. Now, this is what's interesting. Alex Jones says that Israel has lost the high ground. I'm going to play a clip for you. This is Alex Jones. This was, think this was the day after 9/11.
I don't support the Palestinians either. They're all hyped up and psychotic. But Israel's going to get us nuked, always backing them up like this. Israel calls the Palestinians goyim or cattle or dogs or subhuman.
Now, oh, I find this interesting juxtaposed to a tweet he just sent out a couple of days ago that says they've lost the high ground. Now, what he's referring to, this is back in 2001, and he's explaining to you how the Israeli government has been treating Palestinians for decades, calls them subhuman, calls them dogs. So it's just kind of interesting to me that Alex Jones somehow believes that when exactly did they gain the high ground, I guess, is my point.
Fish. Israel calls the Palestinians goyim or cattle or dogs or subhuman. They keep them on concentration camps. I got video of them taking Palestinian women's tomatoes they grow and breaking their water containers and stealing. That's why you have this crap. And our children are going to die. We're going to get nuked because of this. Iran's got the nukes now. Syria. We're going to have nuclear war. Because Israel likes to go around bombing everybody. I'm sorry, it's just the facts. And Israel absolutely is beside itself with joy right now. They are talking about how they're going to blow everything up, how they're going to attack everybody, and guess who's going to get bombed because of it?
And remember, he is speaking the day after 9/11. Saying that Israel is just the Israeli government was just absolutely thrilled with this because Bennett was just going to rip the lid off the can of whoop ass that they want to inflict around the Middle East, and they can do it with the backing and the blood and the treasure of the United States.
I have been supportive of Israel for many years. When I find out what they do, shooting little Palestinian children in the genitalia and laughing, it's on video. Little 10-year-olds walk around throwing rocks at tanks. A guy sits off a half mile away and blows their testicles off. They call them goyim. They call them dogs. They call the Arabs cattle. And then the Arab corrupt Arab governments that are in league with this government, it's really a sick Hegelian dialectic, order out of chaos, bringing the world crises, bringing them terrorism, so we'll accept a highly dictatorial police state regime. It's happening.
So there you go. Now, I just find that kind of interesting to run across this clip from Alex Jones back in 2001, yet nothing changed. The Palestinians have continued to live in an open-air concentration camp. They have been treated like dogs and cattle and subhuman. Is every Palestinian person just a saint? Straight down from heaven? No, absolutely not. There's bad people in every single society. I don't support Hamas, but I understand it. You've just heard him describe how Israeli government has treated the Palestinian people for decades. Now, what's interesting to me is that, again, nothing changed between 2001 and 2024, 2023, when October 7th happened, yet Alex Jones says somehow that during that time, Israel gained the high ground. I'm not sure exactly how that works out, but I do know why I think maybe he changed his tune on that. We have another conservative commentator that will explain that for us when we come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We are dancing all around the third rail of conservative talk radio today. If this is my last show, then I really do appreciate everybody's support. You know, it's really sad to me. I have big problems with the Israeli government. I also have huge problems with the United States government, huge problems with the Canadian government, huge problems with the British government, yeah, huge problems with every government. I'm a libertarian. Governments create chaos and unrest and unease and dissatisfaction. It's their stock and trade. They want us hating each other across international borders, across racial lines, economic lines, racial lines. This is the only way that the parasite class can get away with what they get away with, is they've got to pit us against each other. They got to take you to war so that you'll rally around the flag and not notice that they're robbing you blind. And so this is no knock on the Jewish people. And it's so sad because I've had good Jewish friends. I dated a Jewish girl for 4 years, really my first true love. Still good friends with her. Her husband's not a fan of mine. I understand. But, you know, it breaks my heart to think that she might listen to this show and just be really angry with me. Maybe not speak to me when there are Jewish people, great Jewish people all over this country, all over the world, and in Israel that are also speaking up just like I am. This is not a thing about Jews. This is about a government that is run by Jewish people. It is, one of the only ethno states out there. And they are doing unspeakable things. I'm not going to justify it. Right is right and wrong is wrong. I don't care. I don't care who that person is. I don't care what they believe. I don't care what religion they are. I don't care what color they are. I don't care about any of those things. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And the treatment of the Palestinian people has just been objectively wrong. And if people who don't understand, I don't have time to get into the whole history of what's gone on, but I've always said this, you can just imagine that if the United Nations, is everybody a good fan, big fan of the United Nations out there in conservative world? I don't think so. If the United Nations just went and told a bunch of Californians, hey, you get 60% of Mississippi. Go ahead and move in. Take whatever you want. We've given a big spot. Anybody that's within the borders that the UN draws inside Mississippi has to pack up and leave. The Californians are moving in. Can you imagine how mad that would make Mississippians who have lived on their land for generations, their farms, in their houses? What the hell? Can you imagine your reaction? Wouldn't you go, who the hell is the UN to give away my home and my town to a bunch of Californians? They got no authority over me, but suddenly the Californians start moving in and they kick you off your land. And they take 60% of the state of Mississippi. 750,000 people were displaced. Palestinian people were displaced when Israel was just the UN just decided, hey, we're going to create Israel and allow Jews to migrate into this area. And 750,000 Palestinians, you just got to get up and leave. You got to go. We've decided it. The UN. Were they meeting in New York then? It doesn't matter where they were meeting. The UN just arbitrarily decided, yeah, here's the land we've decided these other people get, and all of y'all have to leave. I can't imagine 750,000 Mississippians just going, okay. And if that wasn't bad enough, the Californians start taking more land. the other 40% they didn't have, every decade they take about another 10%. And then they just start moving into people's homes. They see a house they like, they just move in, and they just kick you out. That's what's happened to the Palestinian people. It's just objectively true and objectively wrong. But I'm going to explain to you, or I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm going to let another conservative darling who has really been very courageous on this issue, because I understand how hard it is to go on any conservative platform and say these things, even though they are objectively true. So Candace Owens has had a great deal. She's just been fired from the Daily Wire because, you know, that Ben Shapiro who has been constantly criticizing cancel culture, he canceled his employee for having a different opinion on this issue than him. That's strange, isn't it? As I said, hypocrisy is the national pastime in the United States. But why did Alex Jones, why did he spew out all those facts about what was happening to the Palestinian people in 2001? And then by, 10 years later, suddenly he thought Israel had somehow gained the, air quotes here in the studio, high ground. Well, I imagine he got a talking to. Here's Candace Owens. She'll kind of explain to you how the media landscape, and for those people out there who are mad at me, maybe for this segment or for the last 7 years of me pointing out how wrong this treatment of the Palestinian people is, understand you've been conditioned You know, it's a lot like, there's a lot of people who think that the United States is still out there spreading democracy. Don't you laugh at them now? But you understand, because I was one of those people back in the 1990s when I was a Kool-Aid drinking neocon warmongering Republican. They got me. They conditioned me. They brainwashed me. And so you hear people say, oh, well, we're out there spreading democracy. We're always the good guys in a war. You just laugh at them at this point, don't you? After you see what goes on in Ukraine and some of these other things, you think, we are not the good guys. Our CIA probably just fomented an attack on innocent people at a Russian concert. So you just laugh at those people, but it's because they've been conditioned to believe that through endless propaganda, through the media and our schools and other things. But now we laugh at them. Well, I'm telling you, the people who believe that, you know, this Israeli bond cannot be broken have been conditioned as well through decades and decades of conservative talk radio who may or may not have made a nickel or two trying to convince you of that. Here's Candace Owens.
Because what it registers to me as is power, real power hiding behind a veneer of victimhood, the kind of power that can take somebody out and end their entire career if that person says something that they don't like. And in this case, it's not that I'm saying things that they don't like. It's that I'm refusing to allow my voice to be controlled. I want to be clear to you guys. I'm going to be honest with you because everybody's noticing it. Every single political commentator in America, every single one of them knows this. That if you do not step out and say things that are radically pro-Israel, or if you are too quiet on certain narratives and they want you to be radically pro-Israel, you can lose everything. That's truth. That is a fact. I'm not feeling like I need to hide from that anymore because, or be afraid to say it, rather, is a better way to say it, because I've endured this for years. I'm just at the end of my rope. I have given so much rope here and I am just done with it. Every person that you are a fan of, they know this. Every person that you line up to go hear speak, they know this. Again, it's not even on the basis of what you say. It can sometimes be on the basis of what you don't say. That an entire mob will assemble. They'll write piece after piece after piece until you subjugate. If you don't subjugate, the bounty grows larger. So yes, there was a large bounty on my head for the crime of refusing to suddenly hate Muslims and to condone Muslims getting bombed following October 7th. Everybody can see that. I have said.
And she clip ends there, but Candace Owens has said many, many times the events of October 7th were horrific, but she as a mother can't watch a bunch of Palestinian babies being bombed to death. She can't say that that's okay. She just can't. Her motherly instinct, her human nature can't say that that's right. But what she's explaining to you is that most of the people that you've listened to for decades have pretty much told us anything that Israel does is okay. They're always the victim, and so they can always do whatever they want to because they're constantly under attack. When the reality of the situation is, Israel provokes a lot of attacks. And they do it with the blessing of the United States, which conservative talk show hosts have spent decades convincing you is in our best interest because of this. And I'm going to say it again. It's the only democracy in the Middle East, Mike. And to that I say, and so what? What does that have to do with grocery prices or homelessness or fentanyl deaths or rampant crime or failing infrastructure or planes coming apart in the sky? Or $35 trillion in debt? How does this, they're the only democracy in the Middle East, how does that benefit the United States? Can you name all of the democracies in Southeast Asia? Yeah, me either. Because I don't really care. That's their deal. I'm concerned about our deal. They can govern. My heart bleeds for anybody who lives under a dictatorship or a monarchy with an evil king. I hate that for them. I'm a libertarian. I wish they would rise up and throw off the shackles of the ruling class the same way that I wish we would do it, even here in our so-called, air quotes here in the studio, democracy. But you understand that it's been out of fear. Because there is a lot of money flowing around Washington, D.C. You think that Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House, invited Benjamin Netanyahu to address the U.S. Congress at this time when countries around the world, particularly billions of Muslims, are angry at Israel? Mike Johnson invites the head of Israel here to give a speech, which is basically just, we're endorsing the person that billions of Muslims are furious at right now. And I'm going to say it, they're right to be furious at Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government for this bombing campaign in Gaza. We're just basically stepping in front of a bullet. We're going to the least popular guy on the earth and going, he's with us. So if you got a problem with Netanyahu, you got a problem with us. That's what we're saying. And that's what Alex Jones was explaining back in 2001. This is not good for the United States. I wish all the best for Israeli citizens, the ones that aren't taking other people's homes, for all the great Israeli citizens, all the great things in Israel. I bet it's a great place to go. To all the Jewish people worldwide, I wish you all the best. But I'm not supporting this Israeli government. You're a conservative talk show host, and I would even dare say, with no proof whatsoever, but I would imagine there's even a little bit of money maybe sloshing around in the evangelical hierarchy there at the top levels that have got you convinced that we must do this for biblical reasons. Now, I'm no biblical scholar, but I've got to say, I could probably find in the Bible pretty quickly where it says, yeah, you really probably shouldn't bomb and kill innocent people by the tens of thousands, even if you're trying to get back at them because some of them did the wrong thing, probably shouldn't kill 30,000 innocent people. I would imagine that's somewhere in the Bible. You know, eye for an eye, I think 600 Israeli citizens were killed. So eye for an eye, maybe we say 600 innocent Palestinians and then all of the Hamas perpetrators of it, that would kind of be fair. 600 Israeli citizens, innocent, poor victims, and I mean that with all sincerity, the people that were killed on October 7th, vengeance for them, if there's 600, an equal amount, hell, let's say a double amount. Because Hamas in this situation, I'm going to do it again, air quotes here in the studio, started it. Of course, this is like the NATO versus Russia thing. You know, the history actually goes back decades and decades and decades. People want you to believe it all started on the day that Russia invaded Ukraine because they want to keep you ignorant and justify what their position is. This didn't start on October 7th. It escalated on October 7th. It's been going on since 1947 and 1967. But I would imagine that somewhere in the Bible, right is right and wrong is wrong. And justifying things that are quite obviously wrong, like the death of 30,000, I don't know if it's 40,000, I don't know if it's 20,000. Oh, those are Hamas numbers, Mike. Have you seen the pictures of Gaza? It seemed like it'd be an undercount to me. If you can just imagine some major metropolitan area here in the United States with 2 million people in it, and you look down the streets and it's nothing but rubble and collapsed buildings, you'd probably get a sense a lot of people probably died during that, wouldn't you? If Manhattan was just basically leveled, you'd probably think, yeah, I bet you a lot of people died in that situation. We had 3,000 people die on 9/11 in two buildings. Two buildings. Go take a look at Gaza if you think the Hamas numbers are off. I'm sure Hamas probably lies about that stuff. And I bet they've lied about other things during this operation. But what the Israeli government doing is just flat wrong. All right, last couple of minutes of the show, maybe forever. WYAB gives me a wide berth, but I know that I probably angered some people today. I don't mean to. I'm just telling you, it's like everything else. They sell. Spedley Butler warned us, war is a racket. Israel is not, they're not above that. It's a racket in every country. We've seen so many, you know, illegitimate ideas of self-defense or, you know, proactive war because of some great noble cause. Bashar al-Assad was being mean to his own people in Syria. It has nothing to do with the pipelines or the oil fields we stole, Mike. It was just because we love people so much, we had to start a 10-year war on Syria. It's just a coincidence that Israel is really at odds with Syria. Now, here's where the remaining few people that I've not angered yet will get angry now. You have a choice coming up in November between Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Either way, you get a government that is fully behind Israel. Now, Joe Biden's having like I said, there's a trickle of pushback now as much as he can get away with because the public pressure on him is so enormous right now. But he has said many times, Joe Biden has said many times, I am a Zionist. And that is what the real problem is, this Zionist movement. And so it doesn't matter who you vote for in 2024. This situation doesn't change until the people change their hearts and go, hey, look, this relationship's not working out for us. It's just not. We wish Israelis all the peace and goodwill among men and everything else, but they got to knock off all this killing and bombing. They've bombed Syria multiple times recently, bombed Lebanon, and because they know that we've got their backs. Our troops, our treasury has got their backs. And that's wrong. It doesn't matter who you get elected Speaker of the House. We've seen that. You still get 100% behind Israel Congress. And I mean that, Republican, Democrat. See, it doesn't matter. Joe Biden, Donald Trump, doesn't matter. Hakeem Jeffries or Mike Johnson, doesn't matter. Kevin McCarthy, doesn't matter. Nancy Pelosi, doesn't matter. It's always the same. Seems something odd about that. Do you see anything? I've warned you, when they do things bipartisanly, it's always a disaster. When they undo things bipartisanly, that's the only time there's any legitimacy in Congress that I can see. So you're not going to change anything with the 2024 election until you demand change that way. And unfortunately, I think Alex Jones is right. We're going to find ourselves in a war. And we're going to be really, really, we're going to maybe look back and go, you know, maybe standing with the least popular guy on planet Earth was not a great idea in 2024. We'll see. I don't know. That's all the time that I've got for today. Tune in for another cheery show. We're going to talk a little bit of economics tomorrow. Boy, there's just some staggering statistics out there right now of what the poor American people are being put through, all by design. We'll do it tomorrow. Come back to see me then. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Here comes the boys from the south. Here comes the